sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, Broker of Movers Real Estate. That's what I do every day. Every day, day in, day out. I go list properties, negotiate contracts, install soul signs. So if you need help from me at 722-3232 here in the Metro, 405-722-3232. We're talking inspections, home inspections today. So I brought in a home inspector. Scott Price. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Becky.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
And your company is Home Run Inspections.
That's correct.
Okay, that's awesome. If you have a question about a home inspection, I want to invite you to call real early, 840-1000. It's 405-840-1000, and we will talk about your question about home inspections, because that really, other than negotiating the initial offer, the home inspection to me is the most difficult stage in the process of a home sale or purchase. A lot of times folks ask who gets to choose the home inspector, how much power do they have, that kind of thing. So, Scott, what got you into home inspecting?
Well, I've been interested in homes for a long time. In fact, Like a lot of kids, I built a treehouse at an early age. I was always interested in exploring the house. I remember going underneath the house in the crawl space at a very early age, getting up in the attic, getting on the roof. I don't know, some kind of weird interest.
You're weird.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead.
Let's just put that out there. Of course, I had shop class at Hoover Middle School a long time ago. And then I worked in various aspects of construction, heat and air conditioning, which involves plumbing, electrical. I also worked in fabricating skylights. And then I worked probably my longest tenure with a construction company related to homes is the telecom business. I was worked for Cox Cable and several other companies for about 16 years. So been in probably about 10,000 different homes and seen lots of different forms of homes.
It's amazing how much you learn about a home from doing other professions, isn't it?
It really is. It comes in really handy.
Yeah. And you would think working for a telecom like Cox or AT&T, any of them,
right?
You would think that you wouldn't have to know a whole lot about a house.
Yeah. It's really helpful, especially running cable. Yeah, I was working for Cox Cable when the digital revolution came along and everyone started having cable. So you learn a lot about homes, you know, punching holes through walls, what is in that wall, what to avoid. When you get up in attics, same thing, crawl spaces, same thing. So I learned a lot that way, for sure.
Right. One of my agents that worked with me for a while, worked with Cox Cable previous to being a realtor. And he said something about he helped a buddy. He was off the clock, but he went ahead and went and helped a buddy who was having a really hard time in this crawl space.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and they found the girlfriend of the grandson. She was dead in the crawl space.
OMG.
Yes. Ever find any weird things?
You know what? As a heat and air contractor, I did crawl underneath a house once, and their puppy dog came underneath there and ate some poison that was there for rats. And it was out on a farmland, and they had laced an eggshell with rat poison, and that dog ate that, and it was I can't remember the name of the poison, but it causes all their muscles to contract. So dog went rigid, and we had to fish him out the hole to get him to the vet. He lived amazingly. But
wow.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. That's probably the closest I've come
weird
to something like that.
Wow. Okay. Our call-in number here is 840-1000. We are talking to Scott Price from Home Run Inspections. Now, is this your company?
It is.
Oh, okay.
Me and my wife.
Okay. So you just have, it's just you?
No, actually, we've it's kind of grown organically. I got to where, thankfully, I was blessed with enough work to keep me busy, and then kind of overran me a little bit. So I had to hire on some contractors to help me out, and now it's grown to where, at one point over the summer, I had 4 contractors working for me. We have, at this point, 2 full-time, 2 part-time contractors that do the inspections, and I'm kind of taking over a lot of the office duties that my wife had amazingly taken over for me as the business grew. And so I'm kind of moving into that aspect and taking care of the back-end stuff and keeping the orders coming.
Okay. Are you ready to take a call?
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Deborah.
Morning. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Should we wait until 3 to 4 days prior to the closing for the inspection, since something could go wrong with the home?
That's a really good question. It's kind of, you know, one of those questions I'd refer you back to. I always refer customers back to the realtor when in those situations. But from a home inspector's perspective, I would recommend doing it much earlier than that. It's as soon as you get a contract on the house is probably the best time to start looking for a home inspector and get that home checked out, because the home inspection may expose some issues that need to be addressed that can be, one, negotiated in a contract, or two, hopefully taken care of before the close, to make sure that the house is in good condition.
And, Deborah, you don't sound old enough to have had exposure to the old contracts that we used to have, but used to the plumbing inspection, which is all that we ever addressed in inspections back in the day.
Wow.
The contract literally read plumbing inspection to be done 3 to 5 days prior to closing. And that way you were sure it's really going to happen. But there was also, at that time, there was what we called a repair cap in our contracts as well, that said that the seller agreed up front to spend a certain amount of money on repairs.
Oh, right. I believe that's changed, hasn't it?
Oh, that's changed several years ago. And now our contracts have what we call an inspection period. It's really not just inspections. It's investigations, inspections, and reviews. You can investigate the floodplain. You can investigate whether there's a sex offender living close by. You can investigate many of the public records, the zoning, the land use, that kind of thing. And then you can inspect the property itself. And there are certain things listed on that inspection and that you can inspect. If you want other things inspected, there's a little line to fill in. Like if you want the fence to be inspected, you better write that in, because that's not included in a typical inspection.
Right. And sometimes also a home inspection, if done earlier, will expose an aspect of the home that's not typically included in a home inspection, for instance, a generator. So that's beyond the scope of what we do as home inspectors, other than to identify it, tell you about, you know, who made it, potentially how old it is, what size it is. But oftentimes we'll put that in the report to have that inspected to make sure that's operational.
Well, and the thing is that the home inspector inspects certain things. However, the contract says other things.
Right.
So the home inspector is not bound to inspect everything that the buyer might think they need to be inspected.
That's right.
One being a generator. As a consumer, I would think, I want that inspected. Goodness,
sure.
It's a part of the house.
Sure.
You know, it plugs in. So I would want that inspected. But fact is, most home inspectors don't inspect generators, so you're going to have to pay extra for someone to do that, whether it be the same home inspector that inspects the home or a different inspector that inspects generators.
Right.
So there's a lot to that. But, boy, that's a great question, Deborah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Deborah.
That's good information.
We'll return right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are in the presence of a home inspector, so you get to ask him questions. I am here today with Scott Price from Home Run Inspections.
Right, thanks.
And Scott, we've had you inspect a few homes for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't made our favorite list yet.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
In fact, I think we have another one coming up.
A lot of people go, they think that you can buy your way onto my favorites list. Not the case. Not one person ever bought their way onto my favorites list. I have to use you over and over and over and be sure that you're really the best.
Right. And consistent. You know, do our reports show up the same day like we say they're going to? Do they typically reflect the same? Do we always inspect the electrical panel? Do we always, go on the roof? Do we talk about any limitations we come across?
Well, I just got to be sure you get a good report, and you guys use pictures in your report.
Our report is very picture heavy.
Well, do you know the good thing about that is that your description, besides the fact that yours are typewritten and not handwritten, there are still some guys out there handwriting inspection reports.
Yep.
And I want to tell you something. You can't read those guys' reports.
It's really difficult. They've been
white knuckling a ladder all the way up to a third story or something, and they don't have it in them to write when they get down from there.
And they're great inspectors. Those guys have been doing it for a long time, so they know what they're talking about. But it's hard to translate, because a lot of times the person reading that report wasn't at the inspection, doesn't have anything about that house. So.
Right. And it's really hard to figure out exactly what they're saying. But the pictures, you can draw with a computer an arrow to exactly the spot that you're talking about in the text.
That's really helpful, because a lot of those pictures, my contractors will put in a picture and it'll be turned sideways. And I write back, I have no idea. If I didn't know what I was looking at, I would have no idea what that is. So,
okay. Do you know your license number by heart?
1532.
Oh, that's a very short license number.
Yeah, well, there's more numbers in front of it, but that's the last four.
Oh.
The most.
Okay. But you're not required to, say your license number when you're on the air, you don't think?
I don't know.
We'll say it before we get off, just in case. We're going to be double safe.
All right.
Okay, my license number, my broker's number in the state of Oklahoma is 47388.
All right.
I'm actually not required to do that, but I usually do, and it's on my website, so everybody knows what it is. We do have a call.
Okay.
Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Hey, Don.
Do you have a question for our inspector?
Yes, for the home inspector. Do I need to follow the inspector throughout the inspection so he can show and explain to me all the repairs and the issues that he or she discovers?
That's a good question, Don.
That's a great question.
We call those bird dogging buyers.
Right. I call them tailgaters.
Okay.
And, I would say, in answer to your question, Don, I would say, no, you don't. My inspectors, myself included, we go over everything in detail at the end of the inspection. So we do have buyers that insist on following us throughout, and that's fine. We're educators by heart. That's why I hire the inspectors that I hire. So we like to teach, but we like to do it all at the end. It's more concise.
Okay.
We kind of get in a groove, as I say, as we're going along. And if we're being interrupted, we might have captured something we wanted to put in the report. And if we're also attending to you and someone else that's with you, we might forget to put that in there. We might forget to add a detail that we needed to add. And also, doing a home inspection, there's a risk involved. So I've been up on a roof and the customer's yelling from the ground, "How's it look?" and things like, actually, I'm two stories up, and I need to kind of focus on what I'm doing up here.
I need to balance myself here and be able to look at the roof, take your pictures.
Right, exactly.
That's one thing that I will tell you that most folks, including realtors, do not realize, that you cannot tell much about a roof from the ground.
Right.
You have to kind of look at the roof from the direction that the rain comes.
Yes. And, typically you could see most of the houses in Oklahoma, you could see which way the storms come from on the roof. And, that's a great question, Don. So, my advice would be, go to the home. I always encourage buyers to be at the home inspection and be very curious. But make a list, walk around. We like more eyes at the inspection. So if you come across something and you want to make sure we caught it, put it on the list, and we'll go over it at the end of the inspection.
I think that's a very important point, is that you should talk to your home inspector prior to the inspection about some things that you're particularly concerned about.
Absolutely. We have those conversations all the time.
And, you know, like one of the things is the disclaimer thing that you have to sign ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a little tiny print and there's about four pages of it.
Right. Right. A lot of people, you know, we're in this society, we're kind of trained on it. Just look at a huge agreement and click, I agree, so you can get what you want. But I absolutely encourage all my buyers to read the agreement. There's a lot of good information in there. I kind of take it for granted that a lot of them don't. We're all moving so fast these days. But I try to go over the highlights at the beginning of the inspection and set expectations.
Yeah. What do you inspect and what do you not inspect? Let's take it from what do you not inspect that a buyer might think that you do?
Okay. They might think that we disassemble things like the furnace. We do look, open up just the regular access panel to get information about the furnace capacity, age, things like that. Look at the burners. But we don't disassemble the plenum. We don't look at the A coil, which is an interior part of the air conditioner, usually attached at the furnace, because it would, you know, it's beyond the scope of what we do. It's about 8 or 16 screws that we'd have to take apart. We don't put refrigerant gauges on an air conditioner. This time of year, we don't even run the air conditioner because compressors aren't designed to be run in the cold temperatures like this. So that's a big one right there. And then we can only see what we can see. We can't see behind walls.
Yeah. So what's available to be seen?
Right.
Well, we are talking with Scott Price from Home Run Inspections, and you are certainly welcome to call him, and let's ask him some more questions right after this break on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins, your broker of real estate. And just, you can give me a call anytime. 722-3232 is my office number. If you just need an opinion on what your house might bring on the market, because it's real hard to figure out whether or not you're going to sell it when you don't know how much it's going to bring. Because if it brings $3, you're likely to stay there. If it brings $30,000, you might want to move. So just give me a call and I'll help you out on that at 722-3232. It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing to help you pick the right type of shingle, to discover the things under the shingles that need to be fixed, and help you with your insurance claim. They'll take it from beginning to end and help you collect everything you need to collect on your insurance policy. So it is our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing at 728-3700, is architectural shingles.
Right.
Architectural shingles. What's an architectural shingle?
Architectural shingle is basically, it's also referred to as a dimensional shingle. It's what you mostly see here in Oklahoma. It's instead of the flat three-tab shingles, that asphalt shingles that were very common for years and years, they're a more robust shingle, able to stand up to more rain, more small hail dings, and give you a longer life on the shingles.
Yeah, it's kind of a premium grade asphalt shingle, isn't it?
It is, and it's the vast majority of the shingles that you see out there on homes.
Thicker,
yes,
has a distinctive texture to mm-hmm. it.
About every other step, there's a second layer added to that shingle.
Sometimes it's called a dimensional or a laminated shingle.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
Those have been around for a long time.
They have been, but that, you know, as we've had a lot of roofs replaced here in Oklahoma. Pretty much every, not pretty much, but a lot of the roofs that we see inspected, a lot of them were replaced about 2012,
right,
when those hailstorms came through, tornadoes came through, and destroyed a lot of roofs.
Right. So I get tickled sometimes when someone describes their house as what are your improvements? And it was, well, we got a new roof about 5 years ago. I'm going, well, all except about 3% of Oklahoma City got new roofs about 5 years ago.
Right, exactly.
So yours is pretty normal. That's not really a huge selling point because it's just like everybody else's, right?
Right.
So, yeah, architectural shingles are what a lot of people used to call Elk Prestique. Remember when we used to call that?
Right.
Because they were one of the first ones that came out with those.
Right.
And they were a like a 30-year shingle.
Mm-hmm.
They're not 30-year shingles anymore, are they?
No. Well, you know, that's, yeah.
They're lifetime shingles.
Right.
And in Oklahoma, lifetime is like 20 years.
Right.
Just so you know.
Well, it's kind of like a real, you know, don't you say that in real estate, people, this is going to be my forever home. And you say, okay, I'll see you in 5 years.
Yeah, except that lifetime in Oklahoma being a legal term.
Right.
A lifetime warranty is typically a 20-year warranty.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
If you get 20 years out of a roof in Oklahoma, you're doing good.
Yeah, you are. You're right. So, okay, I am talking to Scott Price with Home Run Inspection Services. And we are, well, Charlie, you've been so kind to hang on for a long time. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Morning, Charlie. Thanks for calling.
I have a question. It's kind of a two-part question. I'd like to get your recommendation on doing an inspection before you put your house on the market.
Okay.
And then if you have things that need to be fixed, if you get those fixed, do you then have to disclose this inspection when you actually put the house on the market, if you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. So that's a pre-listing inspection. I've done a few of those. They're not really popular here in this part of the country. Some part of the country, they're more popular. When we have that inspection and you make any repairs, typically you want to disclose those things. It's kind of a selling feature of the house. This is what I saw. My inspector said my heat and air conditioning was 25 years old, so I went ahead and upgraded that. It was low on insulation, so I added some insulation, and you could disclose that. As far as whether or not, you know, if there were some other things found out about during an inspection, I think, and Becky, maybe you could speak to this, I think you're supposed to disclose those things.
I have this big grin on my face going, well, that's a legal thing.
Right.
Yes, in the state of Oklahoma, it's a residential property, you have a certain residential property condition disclosure, and that's a 3-page document that has to be filled out by law. And then if your home was built prior to 1978, there's a lead-based paint disclosure that has to be filled out. And if you're aware of repairs to the home to correct defects in the property, you need to disclose those.
Okay.
I have a certain number of people who do pre-inspections, and we just call it a pre-market inspection.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've had probably 10 of those in the last year.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It gives the seller a good idea.
Well, but that does not negate the buyer's ability or right to inspect the property. Because, Charlie, an inspection is a snapshot in time. Am I right?
That is right. That's part of the little spiel I give at the beginning of an inspection. All my contractors tell the buyer, this is just the way the house is today.
Right now.
Right now.
At this point,
yeah, right now. Okay.
Yeah, at this point in time. And you check for things that are broken.
Mm-hmm. Things that don't operate.
Don't operate as intended.
Right.
And are unsafe.
Exactly.
And so those three things are kind of what is covered under the inspection.
Mm-hmm.
It could actually be a selling point if you have some defects that you fix.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll share this with you. I actually did an inspection on a really nice home in North Oklahoma City, and the buyer for some reason backed out. They didn't want the house. I think something changed with a job, so they didn't buy the house. And then someone else came along a month later and put in a contract for the house, and they saw my report, my inspection report from the previous buyer. And that was good enough for them. They didn't even have another inspection.
Oh, well, okay.
That brings up a very good question. Who owns that inspection report, and how many people can use it?
Right. In my opinion. My buyer is the only one that owns that report,
right?
My client. And so when I send out the report, it goes to my client and my client's agent.
Somebody else use that inspection report and make a decision whether or not to have repairs or a TRR done.
It was kind of risky on their part. And I recommended, you know, that was, again, like you said, that was a snapshot in time. That's the way the house was 30 days ago.
A lot of people want to have if the inspection was done, say, Scott, you do the inspection, and then, like you say, your buyer backs out for some reason, not your buyer, but whatever, the buyer determines not to purchase the home.
Right.
And now, does the seller need to disclose what's on that report to all potential new buyers? Well, maybe not every detail of the report, but if it's on one of those pages, those three pages of the disclosure, you have to disclose it.
Right, right.
It's not really, there's not a really a gray area there.
Right.
Because
the
state makes
clear.
Those laws,
that's
right?
That's right.
The legislature makes the laws, and the Oklahoma Real Estate Commission devises the rules and regulations based on the laws for realtors. But guess what? Buyers don't fall under the rules and regulations of the Real Estate Commission.
So did that answer your question, Charlie? Did that answer all the questions?
Yes, sir. That's very good information. I certainly appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Are you thinking, Charlie, about putting your house on the market?
Oh, it's our forever home.
Okay, there you go. Okay. But this discussion does bring up concerns, and you just have questions about that.
Yeah.
We appreciate your phone call. And by the way, if you want to hang on, Mr. Gannon will get your name and contact information, and I'm going to send you a certificate from Casa Perico to have a free lunch. How's that?
Well, that sounds great.
Okay. Well, it's my favorite place to eat. So we'll return after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You are listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate. Call me sometime, 722-3232. If you have a question for me, you can call my show anytime at 840-1000. So we're talking with Scott Price, Home Run Home Inspections. If you have a question for Scott, give us a call here at 840-1000. I do have a question for you. Okay. What is included in a home inspection? Do you inspect? Do you have like major systems?
That's a really accurate description right there. So we inspect everything that we can get to. We inspect the HVAC system. Sometimes, like I spoke to earlier, there's limitations. Like this time of year, we don't run the air conditioner because it's hard on the compressor. In addition to looking for repairs and safety concerns, we're describing everything too. So we're going to tell you what kind of siding, what kind of insulation, what kind of roof, as best we can tell. We're going to get in the attic if we have accessibility. If it has a crawl space, we're going to do that. And we're going to inspect the plumbing, everything, again, that is accessible, the electrical system, the appliances, fireplaces. We check those out. Even though per Oklahoma standards of practice, we're not required to light fireplaces, things like that, but we like to check those out.
Well, I would think that would be real important. Don't do minimum.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. That's why
A lot of times those old fireplaces, the gas valve has a leak, and you light a fireplace, and if you put a flame near that valve, it sets on fire too, right?
I've seen it come out underneath the bricks, underneath the log lighter. It should be checked
out. Check the damper to see if it's seized shut, open or shut.
Run into that a lot. You know, especially if it doesn't have a chimney cap. It's been missing for 20 years. That damper will be frozen shut.
If there's animals in the fireplace, beware, right?
Exactly. We inspect a lot. There's a lot to it's all in our standards of practice that the our buyers are aware of when we start. But I think that about covers it.
You check the roof.
Yeah.
You check the electrical.
Mm-hmm.
You check the plumbing.
Right.
You check the appliances.
Exactly.
You check the exterior and the interior and the structure.
Yeah, I was checking all the windows, all the doors, sinks, toilets, showers, all that good stuff. You know, all the things that you're going to use on a regular basis.
That was 8 things. And that was 7 things, and you check 8. So I'm going to have to think about what that 8th one is.
But, everything that's, that we can get to, there are limitations. We don't, we can't see behind walls. Of course, when we're checking at the washing machine hookups, for instance, a lot of times, if it's an occupied home, we don't have access back behind there. But we do, peek our head over there, shine a flashlight, see if we see evidence of a leak. If it's exposed, great. We'll, check both those valves, those spigots for the washing machine, check that drain, run water down the drain. We also, run water for about 30 minutes both sides of the house, pretty large volume. So we load up that plumbing system to see if you've got any kind of sewer backup or anything like that.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It does.
And it drives the homeowner crazy because you leave every faucet running at the same time.
Right.
And start draining tubs full of water.
Right.
Flushing the toilets all at the same time.
I've had sellers.
They get upset.
Well, what are you doing running off? You're running up my water bill.
Well, you got to check it out.
Right? I agree. I agree. That's what we're hired to do, but some sellers have an issue with that.
What does it cost to have a home inspection?
Our inspections start at $275 for a home less than 2,000 square feet. And that comes with like we talked about earlier, a fully digital report, very photo-heavy, lots of descriptors. Of course, we're going to address any kind of repairs that need to be addressed, safety concerns, things like that. Report goes out same day. All my inspectors, we always approach home inspections from an educator standpoint. So we're there not only to look for problems that you need to be aware of before you purchase the home, but to tell you about the home.
You know, we touched on whether or not you should follow your home inspector around early on in the hour, but I thought I might revisit that concept. I ask my home buyers to be there at the end of the report. And if there are things that are need to be covered, that like if you want to show someone, here's where your filter is on your heat unit. Here's how you access this.
Right.
What different things like that.
Absolutely.
That can be done toward the end of the report.
Right. A lot of houses have interior water shutoffs. I really like everyone at the inspection to know where that is. If you have a leak in a dishwasher, if you own a home, things are going to go wrong.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. Are you ready?
Okay.
What's some of the strangest things you found in a home inspection? I'll start.
Okay.
And then we'll take turns.
Okay.
This will be kind of fun.
All right.
One of the things I found, and my home inspector called it non-standard drain.
Okay.
Someone had used a radiator hose
to hook
to the bottom of a sink in a bathroom and drained that into the bathtub that was draining just fine.
Right. Yeah.
So, it worked,
but
that's not, was non-standard material used, right?
Right.
So what's some strange things that you've found?
There's one... In a garage, near a home, they have an overflow drain that sticks out of the ceiling in the garage, and it's often referred to as a tattletale. So if the overflow pan underneath the air conditioner in the attic starts collecting water, it starts dripping there, right where you will see it when you come in and park your car and go in your house. There'll be water dripping from the ceiling. You're like, well, what's wrong with that? And so that's your cue to go up and get that issue resolved. Well, this person saw the drip, and they were like, why would they do that? So he ran and he added drain pipe and took it outside. He ran it down the wall and outside of the garage.
Oh, wow.
So
rather than fix the thing up in the attic.
Exactly.
A lot of people don't know what that PVC pipe is.
Another thing to
out.
Talk about at the end of the inspection. Explain those things. What is that pipe?
I've got one on my patio door, right in front of my patio door.
If
you go out, my back door, you would see that.
Right. And I saw one of those two that they had run a drain over to the gutter because it was dripping. So they ran a pipe over to the gutter and they didn't know what that was.
Crazy,
right? Yeah.
Okay. Now, is it my turn? Okay.
Yeah.
License plates for shingles.
License plate for shingles. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen that on birdhouses,
no,
not regular
houses.
I've seen
that. License plates used for shingles to patch a roof.
Wow.
Old license plates. Yeah. Now it's your turn. We got room, time for one more.
Okay. This one would be in the range of odd, kind of weird, creepy, odd. I was in an attic. I've got several different attic ones. But this one is a largely empty attic. About halfway back in the attic, there was this boarded off area with a massage table in the middle of the attic.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll finish this off with strange things. Sold a house one time that had a faucet in the attic, like a water faucet spigot.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. It was installed where the water would have been come out about 1 inch or less from, if you're standing in the attic, it would have been the floor.
Wow.
So that you couldn't have hooked a hose to it or anything. Who knows what that was doing there, right?
That was
a standard house that had been owned by the same person for like 60 years. But she was deceased, so I couldn't ask her what that was for.
That would have been interesting.
I doubt she'd ever been in her attic anyway. Yeah. We do thank you, Scott Price, for being a part of our show, Home
Thanks
Run
so much
Inspections.
For having me.
And go talk to Scott. It is 905-9175.